Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning, Roy Mathock Jr. here, and we're going to be talking money today, as we always do on Saturdays, and trying to help you move in the right direction. I've been doing this for all my life, it seems like, more than 35 years of working with people to help them move forward. So if you have questions and you would like them answered, there's a couple ways you can do that. We've got a good topic today, and I'm going to work on the things that really matter, and that's your income and your outgo and things like that. But if you do want to call in, you can do that at 737-9522. That's 615-737-9522. You can text your questions to 38470 and just put the word question in, and it'll walk you through how to do that. So if you don't want to go on air, but you know, I thought I would start out with something that, you know, to kind of raise the levels of the show. I was reading this morning that Stormy Daniels is doing some appearances now, and she said that there's only three things that she really wants in a man. She wants good credit. That's interesting. Wi-Fi, and she wants a good parking place. And so for those of you that have large goals as a male out there, you know, you can probably live up to that. All you got to do is get your credit right. Most people have the rest of it. And so I thought I would start it out good. But, you know, the funny thing about it is that, you know, she still doesn't quite get it. You know, it might be you make a lot of money, you save a lot of money, and you get financial independence, stay out of debt, be a good guy, that kind of thing. But anyway, just thought I would bring that up to start the show off because, you know, got to shoot high, right? And that's the way she's shooting right now, as she always does. She gave up on the other stuff. But anyway, with that being said, let's start out with a couple of foundational points that you have to take and really consider if you want to get your money going in the right direction. The two foundations create what I call quality of life, and quality of life is, you know, the difference between what you have going out and what you have coming in. That gap is the quality of life gap. So your income minus your outgo is the quality of life that you have. If you run a small business, then your profit is over and above your salary is what you're getting in the form of quality of business, meaning that, you know, if you have a normal salary for the job that you would be doing if you run a business. One thing you need to know when you're running a business is, you know, there's, if you could hire someone to do the job you're doing, how much would they get? And that's what you should be getting. And then anything left over after that is your profit. So that tells you if you're really making a profit or not on your business. But with that being said, your income minus your expenses. So let's talk about that. The first goal I would say is to get to the top 2% of income earners. And how do you go about doing that? Well, there's a couple things that you got to do. Number one, you got to work hard. I mean, that's as simple as that sounds. Most people forget that. They don't get up early and stay late and do the extra things that cause them to get there. So you got to work hard. The other thing is that you got to be an honest person, because I really believe that ultimately if you don't do that, you'll end up getting caught, and your reputation is everything. And in business, if you want to get referrals and keep people around, you've got to be able to have trust involved. Trust creates a great referral business. And so anytime you're running a business or anything out there, you need to have great referrals. That would include, even if you have a job, you need to have great referrals, because, you know, the average person changes jobs many times. And so you do that. And then you find something you believe in that's good, that's right, that you can get excited about, that's got some potential to it. And then you start focusing on going very deep into into that area. You know, my whole life has been geared around money, helping people with their money from and anything I do business-wise tends to kind of stay right around that foundational thing. You know, I've been involved in businesses to with marketing, you know, and that has to do with small business. I've done all kinds of things. I was in the mortgage business at one point in time. I've done different things like that. But the key element was I found something that, you know, I could become very deep in. And what I mean by that is I'm not a jack of all trades. Master of none. I'm very deep in very limited areas. I know how to do a few things. I'm a pretty decent golfer. I know how to make money. Okay. I know how to help people make money. I'm a business guy. Those are the things that I tend to focus, you know, on when it comes to things like that. And so once I do that, then I want to have a goal of being in the top 2% of income earners. Well, if you're in the top 2%, I think here in Nashville, you're making right out $100,000. If you're making $100,000 a year, you're starting to move in the right direction. Then from there, it's only upward from there. And so then once we do that, then we go into developing a spending plan. So if we're making $100,000, guys, I say this to you because if your income is down, I mean, if you're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, you know, I tell people this, your number one focus should be figuring out how to improve your income. How do you improve your income? Well, you know more, do more. You find things that allow you to get more valuable to either the customer, who would be the person that pays you when you're self-employed, or to the employer who is paying you when you're working for someone. But the bottom line is, you, the customer, wants the very best, and if you give them that, and they should be scared that you might fire them if you're doing the right kind of job for them. And so you want to make sure that you're good at what you do. How do you get there? You read, you study, you put the time in, you make it a point to become the best that you can be in the areas in which you are focused on. If you are working for the company, you look for ways to make that company more profitable. Any company that has a great employee that does a great job for them is going to want to keep them. And in keeping them, usually that involves what? Paying them. So now we increase our income in order to be able to move ourselves forward. Then we go to the spending plan. And the spending plan has to do with how are we going to go about spending less than we make. And then we do that by planning it out. I'm going to give you a quick little budget tip, and then we're going to go into building from the start all the way through retirement today. So I got a great segments here that we're going to be going through. But how do you do that? Well, the first thing you do is this, is you find out how much you're making. You have it going into all into one account. I call that my draft account. My draft account is the account that everything comes out of that's regular, on a regular basis. That includes saving money. You got to pay yourself first, so you have drafts coming out. If you have a 401k at work, they're going to snatch that out before you see it. So now you're putting yourself in a position to where before all, you end up saving money. So you're always saving money. Never should there a month go by that you're not saving money. Now, saving money is a couple things. One, saving money is an emergency fund. One could be, you know, putting money toward debt, reducing debt. I don't mean mortgage debt, but I'm saying credit card, car payment, stuff like that. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a regular draft account where everything is automated. You know, our house payments paid out of the draft account. We have all these different things, our electric bill. So then everything ends up getting paid on time. And so at that point, you're saving your money, and then we start budgeting. And so with all of that, 737-9522. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be talking money. This is Roy Matlock Jr.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. We'll be right back. back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here. I'm back and talking money, and we got a number of questions where people have sent their information to me, and I'm going to answer those
now
throughout the show here, and kind of give you a good understanding of how you look at your finances, things like that. So if you have a question, you can text it 38470 and put the word question in, and then put it right in there, and I'll be sure and get it answered on the show, if not this week, next week. And then also you can email Roy at roymatlockjr.com, or you can just call us at 615-737-9522. So that's our call-in number. As we came out of the break, we were talking about getting the income plan set up. And so basically, when you set up an income plan, there's three accounts. You've got in your budgeting plan, you have an emergency fund, you have short-term savings, and you have long-term savings. And then we put all of our money. If you're married, you would have it all going into one account. Or if you're single, I would recommend you have one account. That's called the draft account. All deposits go there. Drafts to investments go there. There's money that's going to be accumulating in there, because in that accumulation is going to be the car fund to keep you from being having a car payment. It's going to also have things for any kind of future purchases. We're going to have all our bills paid out of that. So it's real simple. You get up, you put your money in there. The drafts pay everything. It includes savings. If you have a 401k, you've funded that. If you don't have a 401k, maybe you have an IRA going in, Roth IRA, depending on your age and situation, and you take that and it's drafted. I always tell people, make it simple. Draft it out of your account. I started my first bank draft, putting it into mutual funds and emergency fund in 1985, and I've had drafts hitting my checking account continuously ever since that time. It just becomes a habit. You start saving money, and then one day you get excited about the fact that you've saved money. How about that? You get excited about looking at the stock market this year, where it's gone up, and you're part of it because you've been putting it in. If you don't put it in, you're never going to get it out. Then from there, each week, I recommend maybe on Sunday night, you shoot X number of dollars over that week for your personal spending. If you're married, you have two accounts. You have your each of you get X amount of dollars, and that's for your weekly expenses. But here's the thing about it. If you do it that way, all you got to manage is a few hundred bucks a week. It's not that hard. Anybody can do that. You got your debit card, and I would even go as far as to have a text message sent to me each night or each afternoon. The bank will do that, or an email. It says, look, you got this much money in the account. And now it's real simple. All you got to do that week is manage $200 or $300, whatever that number is. Everything is squared away. You're on the road to financial independence. You paid your bills on time. All you got to do is just live life. It's not that hard. And so when you do that, now you've got your spending plan under control. Your income plan is designed to make more money always. Figure out a way to do better. All right. Figure out a way to create what I call do nothing money. Do nothing money is money that that goes along 24/7. When you're not doing anything. It's called investment income. Could be a lot of different things. Could be your business. But the bottom line is that you want to get to a point where your dollars and hours are not tied together. You want to get to a point where your hours have nothing to do with whether you make money or not. You don't want to be on an hourly wage. You want to be on a passive income wage. Where do you get that? You get that from owning a business. You get that from having other people working and helping you earn money. And you get that from investment income. It could be, just pure investments where you're getting an income off of it, or it might be a rental. It could be a lot of different things. But the bottom line, royalties, the reality is that we spend money 24 hours a day. We might as well make money 24 hours a day. The electricity runs all night, and so you might as well be making money all night. And so that's the way I look at that. So now that we've understand the game plan is we're going to go and raise our income, manage our expenses, create a gap, and then we're going to put ourselves in a great position. Now, you're getting started. You're new. You're young. Maybe you're out there right now trying to, get to a point. I read an article this week that said that 30% of millennials are back home living with their mom and dad, and they consider financial independence being able to not take any money from their parents. You know, I never thought of it that way, but, you know, I guess you got to start somewhere. And starting somewhere is that, yeah, you become independent. You're out on your own. You're like an adult, and you pay your bills, and you, you know, pay your rent on time, and you know, pay for your insurance, do all the things like that. But at the same time, you need to be saving money. You need to be moving forward. And so the first four steps that you have if you're young getting started is, we've already talked about the first one. It's called a cash flow plan, spending plan. The second one is an emergency fund. You want to start out by at least getting a grand set aside, something like that. And then you move that up to 3 months, and to where you have 3 months of expenses. That way you got a little bit of attitude about yourself, because you know, hey, if you're getting treated poorly at your job, you might just tell them to take the job and, you know, and shove it right in the, what they say. And so because you've got a little cash set aside, you're ready to roll and you go find something else. I recommend you find something first, you know, but at the same time, you know, I've done a lot of crazy things in my time, but, you know, you can't do much crazy stuff and make too many decisions like that unless you got a little cash to back you up. And so that's the emergency fund in case you lose a job. Then you, if you have children, the responsible thing to do is to own life insurance, and you should buy term life insurance. Let me give you an example. You know, if you were out there trying to figure out what to do with your life insurance, well, you got two kinds of insurance. You got cash value, universal life, whole life, what I consider to be one of the biggest ripoffs that's ever been sold to the American consumer is any kind of life insurance with cash value. I do have an opinion on that. I've had that opinion for, you know, my entire existence in the financial services business. The math doesn't work on those things. But the insurance companies, they continue to sell it. And if you're uneducated on the way things work, you may end up, you may have bought some of that stuff. But if you did, here's the good news. If you're healthy, you can always get rid of it. Buy term first, and then take the money you save, get enough coverage, and put it into a good investment. But let's say you're young, getting started. You want to get your kids grown. Let me give you an example of if you're making $4,000 a month. So what happens is, I tell people on life insurance, your family is like, it's like a family business. So if you and your spouse are making, we're going to make it simple on my math today, you're both making $48,000 a year. That's $4,000 a month. And you want to make sure and get your kids grown. So you got to get them out there at least 20 years. And if you were able to put that money into an account that drew, that was getting 8%, and you depleted it out over 20 years. So here's what happens. 20 years at 8%, you need $481,000 in cash. All right. So if you had $481,000 in cash and it got, and it was earning 8%, you could pull $4,000 a month out for 20 years and you would have nothing left. And so if you and your spouse are both making $4,000 a month, the question is this, that's 400, not that you're going to earn over that 20 year period, almost $1 million apiece, $960,000 each. So if you earn $960 each, how much would you want to have in the event something happened to either one of you? You know what they always tell me? I want the $960,000. I want all of it. That's what I want. So that's $1,920,000. If you never get a raise, that's your family business income without a raise, $1,920,000. Well, the good news, you can buy insurance, life insurance, that will provide a lump sum that would pay that out. It only takes $481,000. So now you got $481,000 of coverage each, and now you can, if something happened to either one of you, the spouse's income would be replaced. So there you go. So that's term life insurance. So you buy insurance protection only. You don't save money in it. You don't do that kind of stuff. You get the right kind of car insurance. You get enough liability. I would recommend $300,000 minimum liability, maybe more than that. If you have some assets, you want to get an umbrella policy. You do that kind of thing. So we're building the foundation. You have health insurance. You know, my experience has been the high deductibles are better. You're young. You're healthy. Just pay your, get the cheapest insurance you can. But if you have a catastrophe, do something like that, you're probably going to be much better off than having some low deductible that, you know, gives you $20 copays and stuff like that. And so anyhow, I would do something like that. Once I get those things in place, I'm building my foundation. I'm wanting to get my debts under control. That's cars and credit cards. Buy used cars. Never buy a new car. One of the dumbest things you never do is buy a new car. New cars are just not a good deal. They're never going to be a good deal. I just got through buying a car 2014 with 21,000 miles on it. And, you know, I got a nice car. I got a SL550 Mercedes. Only thing was is I cut my cost in half. I took and got 50% off for 21,000 miles, and the car's incredible, and it drives, you know, you go down the road, if you go off the edge, it pulls you right back in the center, and it does it. And so that's what happens when you start getting ahead. Then you go on the offense. The offense is your retirement plans, fully fund that 401k, do an IRA, then maybe your college plan, and you know, you might do a 15-year mortgage to get your house paid off, and that's the plan of action. 737-9522 if you have a question, and we will be right back. This is Roy Matlock Jr.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, going in the second half of the show today, and you know, our topics are basically income minus expenses, getting it started. You're young, you're getting started. What are you going to do? So we took it through the defense. The defense was the cash flow plan, the emergency fund, getting the proper insurances in place, and getting out of debt. You know, when I first got started in this thing, I had two car payments. It's 30-something years ago, and, you know, I have two car payments. How are you going to save any money when you got two car payments? I mean, it's just hard to do. So how do you get out of that? Maybe you sell the expensive car, buy you a cheap car, and before you know it, you've got the car paid off, and you just say, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then that allows you to start saving money and doing things like that. So then we start going into retirement plans. You had a question, how much does it cost to get one of these things open that you're talking about, one of these mutual funds or one of these savings plans for like IRAs? $50. I mean, when I got started, it's $25 a month to open up something to get professional money management. I mean, it just makes no sense not to be doing it. But, you know, the reason people don't do it is they just don't know that answer. And once they know the answer, they're like, okay, we're going to do it. This makes total sense. Let's talk about something. What happens when you get your money working for you? It's called the Rule of 72. Now, this right here blew my mind. When I first saw this over 30 years ago, and I heard this thing called compound interest in the Rule of 72, I was like, man, this is exciting. This is going to get, I mean, this is what I wanted to know. And the guy says, so let's say you had $10,000 and you invested it one time at 3%. How long would it take your money to double? I'm trying to calculate and do all that. He said, well, there's this thing called the Rule of 72. If you take 3 into the number 72, divide it out, it'll give you 24 years, and that tells you about how long it's going to take your money to double. So if you put in $10,000 in 24 years at 3%, it'll double to $20,000, and it'll double again to $48,000. He said, well, now what would happen if you doubled your interest rate? And I'm immediately like, well, you'll double your money. No, doesn't work that way. See, compound interest is this Rule of 72 works different. If you take 6 into 72, it doubles in 12 years. And now rather than every 24 years, it doubles every 12 years. So now at 6%, it's going to double to 20, 40, 80, 160. So now 48 years later, rather than having 40,000, you got 160,000. You say, well, what if I double my rate again from 6 to 12 and I got 12% of my money? Well, would it double again? No, it doesn't work that way. What happens is it doubles every 6 years. It'll double 10, 20, 40, 80, 160, 320, 640, 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 2,560,000. So here we go. We got three people. 3%er got 40,000 on a $10,000 investment. 6%er got 160,000. 12%er got 2,560,000. Blew my mind. I'm like, how can I get my money working for me? And so what I ended up doing was I started finding out places that I could get a better rate of return on my money, and I made a point to get my money working hard for me, not for the bank, not for everybody else, not for the credit card companies, but for me. And when I start doing that, then I set up an account to where they automatically pulled it out of my checking account. So then I started having money. Hey, sometimes I felt broke. I was down to the wire at the end of the month, but guess what happened? My bank draft hit. I started saving money. And when I started saving money, I started getting excited about looking at my statements. Back then, they sent you paper statements. As soon as that statement showed up, I'd look, and I'd say, man, I'm moving forward. And I started thinking, I started dreaming about, hey, if I could get to this amount of money, okay, I could be free. I wouldn't have to worry about somebody, you know, putting the pressure on me. I could be my own thing. And so I started doing that. And so that's what you need to be doing. You need to start saving money on a regular basis in order to do stuff like that. You might want to put it into a qualified plan called a retirement plan, IRA, a 401k if you have it through your work, 403b if you work at, say, a school system or municipality, something like that, maybe a 457 plan, depending on where you do. But all pretty much 70% of the population has employer-sponsored plans you can take advantage of. And then when you change jobs, you just move it into your own plan. So if you change and you got a 401k, just move it. Then you move it into your own IRA, or you set up your own IRA, or if you're self-employed, you have your own retirement plan called a SEP, or maybe you even set up a small 401k for your work. But the bottom line is, you put aside money for yourself, and then that's how you get ahead. Then you have college plans for your kids. You've got educational savings accounts. You got UTMA accounts where you can put gifts aside. You also have what's called a 529 plan where you can put even more money aside. So that's what you do when you're young. You're getting started. You get on a plan. You save your money. You protect yourself. You stay out of debt. I see people all the time, met with thousands of people, and people go in two different directions. One's traveling 55 miles an hour, you know, north. The other's going 55 miles an hour south. They're traveling 110 miles apart per hour. And what is that? That's the ones that are borrowing money, buying new cars, and going and doing all that stuff. And the other ones over here, you know, being smart with their money, saving their money, getting ahead. And then one day, you know, just, and it's not that long later, 5 years later, one of them's got $100,000 saved and no debt. And another one's got $30,000 in cars and credit cards and hate their life. And so then what happens is the good news is you can change. And if you get sick of it, you can change. And so now what we do is we start putting this together. Hey, we get a house we can afford, all right, to where you've got the ability to still save money. You don't want to be house poor, that kind of thing. So let me give you an example. I've got these questions that people, and you can email me or text me, text to 38470, put in the subject, just put the numbers 38470, put in their question, and hit send. And when you do that, it's going to ask you a few things, and then you'll be able to ask these questions. Here's a couple right here. A perfect example, $50,000 income. So they got two kids, 10 and 3. When you have $50,000 in income and you've got two kids, that's a problem, okay, right there, because it's a lot of money. And get this, they've got a $450,000 house. How they got this, I don't know, and a $250,000 mortgage on their house. So they have no money saved. All right, they inherited another home. Looks like it may be paid for, so it's worth about $50,000. They got no money. They got no life insurance. They got nothing. So what would I tell this couple? I'd say, well, the first thing is I would sell this $450,000 house and get me a house I could afford. That would be the first thing. The other problem they got is they've got a high interest loan because clearly they're probably not making enough money to have good the kind of credit. So what I would do is I would sell that house. I'd sell that other house. And now they have about $300,000 in equity. If they do that, $250,000 in equity, I would then say, all right, I'm starting fresh. I make $50,000 a year. I got a couple $100,000 in savings. What would I do? Well, surely I would get my life insurance in place. I would buy a house much less expensive, maybe $250,000 house that I could qualify on that $50,000 loan or $50,000 income. I would put that money, I put 20% down on the house, and then what I would do is I would, you know, maybe throw a little bit of cash into the kids' college plan. I'd fully fund my IRAs. Now, see, think about this. They've got $450,000 house, oh, $250,000. They got no savings. They got a lake house that's $50,000 or another house they inherit. It's got $50,000. So now look at this. They got $500,000 in housing that is a liability, $250,000 in the form of a mortgage. They got $250,000, but they got no money. All right. They got nothing set up the way it needs to be done. So if you're in that, if you sent this in right there, you just found out what I would tell you to do. Let's talk about another one. Another young couple, listen to this, age 35 and age 33. Now, this is the kind of stuff I see all the time. $100,000 in their 401k. They've got $30,000 to $40,000 sitting in regular savings. They've got term life insurance in place. How about that? They got a rental property. It's a small one that's paid for. They've got total income. They're making $135,000 total income. So $135,000. They are clearly doing a great job saving money. Listen to this. They've got a house that they got a 3% mortgage on. They owe $300,000 on the house. I mean, or the house is worth $300,000. I mean, guys, that's two different examples of what happens. I see this all the time. Text your questions 38470, and we will be right back.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're finishing up here. Roy Matlock Jr. here talking money. And, you know, we've done some review. I had, you know, I get these questions. You can email them, roy at roymatlock jr. I'll answer them on the show. Just give me all the details you want to give me. And, or you can call them in if you're comfortable with being on air. I want to, you know, have people all the time, they ask me, so how do I reach you? How do I reach your advertisers? And the way you do that is you go to roymatlockjr.com. Got a lot of everybody that we recommend on this thing, on the show, are good people. You know, if you want to sell your house, Angela Peach is a professional in doing that. You can reach her on the website at roymatlockjr.com. Hey, I have had so much fun getting, you know, I did tactical gun courses, got my gun carry permit. I did martial arts training, been doing that. Did that through Agape Tactical. You can go there and mention my Matlock and the promo code to get 10%. 10% off the courses. So go check out my website. We also have all of the prior shows on there, the podcast. And if you go there, you'll be able to get all the information on how to reach myself, my team, and any other people that are out there that we endorse. Let's talk about another person sends in their, it's just night and day difference. Here's one I don't have their age, but it looks like they're in their 50s from what I can tell. $275,000 home. They owe $130,000 on it. They've got $12,000 sitting in the bank for emergencies, so we're going pretty good. $120,000, it looks like, in income. So listen to this. They've accumulated $723,000 in their retirement accounts. How about that? $723,000, make $120,000 a year, $723,000 in their retirement accounts. Their home is a $130,000 mortgage on their house. Rule of thumb is about $500 a month for every dollar that you owe, $100,000 in house payment. So if you have a $100,000 mortgage, you have about a $500 house payment. So, I mean, if you're making 10 grand a month and you got a $1,200 house payment, you're probably doing pretty good. So what should I say to them? Well, here's what I tell them. Most important thing you have going right now is proper asset allocation when it comes to the money you have accumulated. You got $700,000 that you need to pay attention to. And how do you pay attention to it? Well, as you look into the mutual fund realm, you've got all different types of funds. You got bond funds, stock funds, you got aggressive growth, you got what we call balance funds. I always tell people when they get at or near retirement and they are financially independent, goal number one is stay there. And how do you do that? You tone it down a little. If you're at or near retirement and each individual person is completely different, you got different things going on. You may have inheritance. You may have a lot of different things. But here's what I tell people. As you get near retirement, protect that income. And it's probably going to be something in a stock and bond portfolio, maybe a 50-50, 60-40 stock type portfolio. You got to look at it and get advice on that and make sure you're doing it the right way. But the one thing you don't want to be doing is sitting there and saying, hey, I want to be aggressive. I like being aggressive. Everybody loves being aggressive when the market's going up. But you don't want to be in a situation where you take that 700 and 5 years from now, it's below where it is today because you got crazy and the market's got squirrely and stuff like that. I believe the markets over a long period of time, I just go historically, they always end up doing fine. You know, I saw Warren Buffett this week. He was talking about, you know, if you owned a business right now, a small business, and you read something on the internet, would you sell your business? And he's like, no, you wouldn't do that. If you have a good small business that's making money and you wouldn't read a story and then decide to sell your business, well, why do people do that on their investments? I mean, do you think your business is better than, say, McDonald's or Facebook or anything like that? Why would you do it based on some article that you read on the internet? That's how people operate. They, oh, well, you know, we got a trade thing or we got this or we got that, and suddenly they do that. Well, no, you put your money in, you leave it there, and I always tell people, don't manage your own money. Let a mutual fund company, get somebody to help you to walk you through and put it in the right place. Don't manage your own money. That's not what you do. I mean, if I'm an engineer, I need to stick to engineering. Okay. If I'm, you know, a music teacher, I need to stick to music. All right. And if you want your money invested, you go with somebody that does money. I mean, if I want to learn how to do martial arts, I went to somebody that did it. I didn't want to try to get on YouTube and try to figure out how to do it. But people do that all the time. And so, you know, I have questions coming in. What is your opinion? Here's a question. What is your opinion about a fixed indexed annuity? All right, well, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is I wouldn't buy one personally. I mean, I don't believe that – I don't worry about market volatility. I mean, my mindset is that I'm going to leave it. You know, I've made it through – since 1987, the stock market crash, I had customers, I don't have a lot of money, but I've made it through all the pullbacks, 2008, I'm still alive, you know what's happened with my money because I left it alone and kept putting it in monthly? Just got better. That's how it works. And so I don't do that. Now, when is a fixed indexed annuity beneficial to people? Well, I'm going to give you the first thing. All right. If you're sitting in the bank right now and you've got that money parked and you're worried about what's going to happen, you're very risk averse. What a fixed indexed annuity does is it has lifetime income guarantees, and it also has principal guarantees. But you give up a lot of the upside. So here's what happens. You might go into a fixed income annuity, indexed annuity, and what it will do is give you a percentage of the upside but none of the downside. So it sounds good, but long-term, is it going to outperform a balanced mutual fund or something like that? I kind of doubt it, all right? I mean, it's possible. Are they bad? Well, they're not bad. I mean, personally, I wouldn't do it. Okay. But that doesn't mean that if you're sitting there, again, I want to make sure, I've had people go into these that are clients, but I just tell them, I said, now look, this is an alternative to, say, a bank. And so don't look at it as some big growth item. It's just something alternative to the bank. Or you might say it's something that you want to just say, I'm going to get something really, really conservative. And it's going to be better than the bank, but it's really, really conservative. And the rest of my money, I'm going to keep it invested. So anyway, we get all these questions like that, that people call in, they text them. I mean, this is what we do. We help people with their money make good decisions. The best way to make good decisions is to do what you're doing right now. If you're listening, you're getting educated. That's one of the key elements to all of this kind of stuff. Let me see what else I've got here that we might. I think I got another one here. Let me see what else I got. Okay, $120,000 a year income. They have house is 250, owe 190 on it. Actually, owe 220, including a second. They have 142,000 and 208. So you get $250,000 saved, and they are making about $120,000 a year. Sounds good to me. The only thing I'm looking at is the $1,000 in the bank. You need to shore up the emergency fund. Because that right there could hurt you, because if anything happens, you would end up having to dig into your savings that way. Looks like overall I would give them a pretty good rating there. They're doing it the right way. I look at their retirement plans. Again, born in 61. So what's that making? That's my age, 58. So they're at or near retirement. So I might look and tone that back a tad. And not be completely aggressive, with your money. But again, everybody's different. You got to make sure that, look at your time frame. Another consideration is, how long are you going to, work, before you end up stopping. So, hey, guys, thanks for listening. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and we will get you all the information. Great downloads. I'll be back next weekend. And until then, y'all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.